What Lawyers Need to Know About Writers' Agreements When Publishing Thought Leadership by Gina Rubel. Thought leadership authored by lawyers has become one of the most effective tools in legal PR because it does two things simultaneously. It builds human credibility and creates durable, discoverable content. When an attorney publishes in a respected outlet, they are not just sharing an opinion, they are signaling expertise that has been vetted by a third party. That validation carries weight with clients, referral sources, opposing counsel, and current and future talent. Over time, a consistent body of published insights shapes how a lawyer, and by extension their firm, is perceived in the market, not just as a service provider, but as a trusted authority. That same content now plays an outsized role in generative engine optimization, GEO. AI-driven search and answer engines increasingly rely on authoritative, well-placed content to inform responses. Articles published in high-domain, editorially credible outlets are more likely to be surfaced, cited, or influence-generated answers than content living only on a firm's website. In this context, free placements are anything but low value. They are high-impact distribution channels. They expand reach, reinforce reputation through third-party endorsement, and seed the data ecosystem that powers modern discovery. For firms that understand this shift, thought leadership is no longer a branding exercise. It is infrastructure. However, if you work in legal PR or law firm marketing, you've likely encountered a familiar friction point. You help a partner to land a high-value thought leadership opportunity with a major outlet like ALM/law.com, Law 360, Above the Law, Reuters, or Bloomberg, and then the publication sends over a writer's agreement. Cue the inevitable email from the lawyer author. Can we mark this up? Here's the reality. Almost always, the answer is no. Understanding why will save you time, reduce internal friction, and most importantly, open future opportunities. What is a writer's agreement? A writer's agreement is a standard contract issued by a publication that governs the terms under which your content will be published. While details vary slightly by outlet, these agreements typically cover compensation consideration, whether the contributor is paid, unpaid, or receiving reputational value in exchange for publication, editorial control, the publication's right to edit, headline, or decline the piece, exclusivity provisions, whether the content can appear elsewhere, freedom from bias and mandatory disclosures, requiring transparency around conflicts of interest, financial relationships, or affiliations that could influence the content, indemnification clauses, allocating risk if something goes wrong legally, ownership, copyright, and licensing rights, who owns the content and how it can be reused, representations and warranties, confirming the content is original, accurate, human-written, and non-infringing, work for hire, whether the publication is deemed the legal author, owner of the content upon creation. These are not bespoke contracts. They are standardized, scaled documents designed to support high-volume publishing operations. Four key reasons why major media outlets use standardized agreements. All publications, regardless of industry, provide writers' agreements to authors of contributed content. These publishers operate at a scale. They are not negotiating one-off contributor deals. They are managing thousands. For these media outlets, standardization serves several purposes. Operational efficiency. Editors and contributors work on tight deadlines. Negotiating individual contracts would slow publication cycles to a halt. Legal risk management. These companies rely on carefully vetted, uniform agreements to mitigate risk across jurisdictions. Even minor changes can create inconsistencies that expose them to liability. Editorial independence. Publications must maintain clear control over content. Agreements reinforce their authority to edit, publish, or decline submissions without external interference. After all, these are free, aka unpaid, placements. Precedent control. If they negotiate with one contributor, they create pressure to do so for others. That's a slippery slope no large publisher is willing to step onto. Why publishers won't edit the writer's agreement, even for big law firms? This is the part that often frustrates attorneys. Surely they'll make an exception for us? They won't, and here's why. You are one of many contributors, not a client. The relationship is editorial, not commercial. There is no revenue tied to your submission. Unlike outside counsel agreements, there's no financial incentive to negotiate. they are doing you a favor by acknowledging your subject matter expertise. Internal legal policies are non-negotiable. These agreements have already been approved at the highest levels. This means that they have been run up the chain with the general counsel and outside counsel, and the company doesn't wish to incur further costs renegotiating something they consider standard. Time kills the opportunity. Editors will move on to another contributor rather than wait for red lines. In short, the cost of negotiating with you outweighs the benefit to the media outlet of publishing your thought leadership. The strategic misstep lawyers make. It's a mistake to handle a writer's agreement the same way you would a vendor contract. This isn't outside counsel work. It's earned media. When firms escalate these agreements to legal review and attempt substantive edits, three things typically happen. Delays that frustrate editors, lost opportunities as deadlines pass, reputational drag that makes future pitches harder for your law firm, PR team. That's a high price to pay for changes that are unlikely to be accepted anyway. And when you're paying an outside PR team hourly, your firm is also incurring further expenses for them to ask the publication to change a contract when the answer is inevitably no. Best practices for accepting thought leadership opportunities. Instead of fighting the process, successful legal PR teams build systems around it. Pre-approve key publications. Work internally to create a vetted list of acceptable outlets, e.g., major legal and business publications. Align with your firm's general counsel in advance so approvals aren't happening deal by deal. Educate stakeholders. Early, set expectations with attorneys. These agreements are standard, rarely negotiable, and part of the cost of visibility. Focus on risk tolerance, not perfection. No contract is risk-free. The question is whether the reputational and business development upside outweighs the low legal risk. Review once, not every time. If your firm is concerned, conduct a one-time review of standard agreements from top outlets and document acceptable positions internally. Prioritize speed. Media moves quickly. The firms that win are the ones that can say yes efficiently. Align content with business goals. Don't accept every opportunity. Be selective and ensure each placement supports a clear strategic objective, such as client visibility, industry positioning, or practice growth. The bottom line? Writers' agreements are not negotiable instruments. They are gatekeeping tools for access to high-value media platforms. Law firms that understand this shift their mindset from contract negotiation to opportunity capture. They streamline internal approvals, empower PR teams, and focus on what matters, getting their lawyers' insights in front of the right audiences. Because in the end, the real risk isn't signing the agreement. It's missing the opportunity.